We've been investing in alternatives in our retirement products for 20 years. We've had real estate in Smart Retirement from the very beginning. So they're great diversifiers. So they both enhance return and lower volatility. They help both the accumulation as you're trying to save for retirement, but also as you're spending down, the vol protection really can help from a sequencing risk element as well.
Welcome back to Insights Now. I'm Gabriela Santos, Chief Market Strategist for the Americas here at JP Morgan Asset Management. This year, we've been spending time on Insights Now, sitting down with our research analysts across JP Morgan Asset Management. First in equities, then in fixed income, and this season, we're chatting with multi-asset research analysts. They spend their time doing research on how tactical and strategic asset allocation should evolve, depending on shifting macroeconomic environments, policy developments, different desired outcomes such as retirement, and across different investing styles, including fundamental and quantitative investing. On this episode of Insights Now, I'm excited to be joined by Catherine Santiago, head of asset allocation research in our multi-asset solutions team. Among her many areas of focus, Catherine spends a lot of time doing research about retirement. I'll ask her about what kind of data she looks at, what interesting trends she's seeing, any relevant regulatory or policy changes, and how she's thinking about investing for retirement going forward. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can now watch along on YouTube by tuning in to our JP Morgan Asset Management channel, linked in the show notes. Now let's get started. Catherine, welcome to Insights Now.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're very excited to have you here. When we talk about the word retirement and retirement research, retirement investing, what exactly are we talking about that's unique with a client profile?
Exactly. So what we mean when we talk about retirement is really about how do you replace that income that one needs when they stop working? And that seems relatively simple to think about, but it's much more complicated to try to understand how much income does somebody need, all the different sources of that income, and what does that income look like? So some of your income is going to be coming from your own savings that you've pulled up. Some of it's going to be coming from defined benefit or Social Security. And then your spending needs, your income needs, can vary as well. It can be, there's a stable component, there's a lot of lumpy, unpredictable nature of it. So really understanding what that income is, meeting people where they are, and understanding what the needs are really helps us then design products to best suit them.
And I've heard, you know, historically we talk about retirement as a destination that all working people will eventually get to. But is that the case, or is it more there's a journey to retirement and after retirement?
It's absolutely a journey. It's a journey for an individual. It's not kind of a moment in time. There can be a ramp up in planning into retirement, and once you retire, then an evolution over that. There can be part-time work. And then also from a household perspective, you know, not everybody retires at the same time. So how that whole journey happens and how income changes really is an evolution. It can start and stop, and it's much more complicated.
And it's interesting because it's very unique to an individual and a household.
Yes.
So when you're doing this research, what kind of data are you able to look at to inform decisions?
Yeah, so we're very lucky at JP Morgan. We have a trove of data that we can look at, and I've basically been spending my entire career building up that data into more and more sources. So we are very lucky to be part of JP Morgan as a whole. So we can partner with the Chase Bank in order to understand how, you know, 50% of Americans spend their money, how they earn their money, how they retire, to really understand what that journey looks like. But then we also can partner with a lot of other great data providers to really then look at how they save for retirement, what their 401k savings look like, how all of that wealth translates into spending and in an alternative income stream in retirement.
And what are some interesting themes you're seeing there or trends in all of this data?
Yeah, I think what we're really seeing, one of the interesting things that we've seen is there is really a cost to retirement. It's not a forced cost, but money is spent in the process of retiring. And that really has very strong implications in terms of how you think about investing, because you're not going to really be able to make that assumption that everything you've saved up just rolls magically into this pot that you never have to touch and you can just live off of the coupon that it generates. You really have to think about liquidity. You have to think about your sensitivity to market risk, because there are things you're going to need to do as you retire that will require some cost.
And in terms of how you're seeing people's readiness for retirement in that data, does it seem like a lot of people are ready, or there's a big hole there that needs to be fixed?
Absolutely. So there's been a lot within the retirement space to help people save and set them up. More access to 401k plans, more auto enrollment into those plans, and setting an initial savings amount. And that is great. Really including more and more people having a plan and having some assets for retirement. But setting an auto enrollment level, people really anchor at those numbers that they're given by institutions, especially more kind of trusted institutions like government. So when they are given an initial savings amount or an initial withdrawal amount in terms of required minimum withdrawals, people really anchor at those levels and really stay there. So there is an under savings for retirement. And so there's a lot more to be done to get people not just into the savings plans, but then increasing their savings over time so that they're actually ready for retirement.
It's not quite enough.
Exactly.
The numbers that you hear.
Exactly.
You mentioned the government. We've seen so much policy change out of D.C. this year, so many different parts of the economy and markets. For the retirement space, what have been some of the highlights here around policy and regulatory change?
Exactly. So there's a lot of exciting things happening in that space. But I think one of the key things to remember is that some of the recent executive orders around alternatives in 401k plans, the executive orders are just a starting point. They don't actually do anything at this point. They set up the commissions and they set up the Department of Labor to do further work. So there's a lot still to do. And then one of the things that I think is very important, while we want evolution in this space, 50% of 401k assets are still indexed and passively invested. There's huge amount of space just for active management in that space.
How have we thought so far about having private, more illiquid markets in a retirement type vehicle?
Yeah, exactly. So we've been investing in alternatives in our retirement products for 20 years. We've had real estate in smart retirement from the very beginning. So they're great diversifiers. So they both enhance return and lower volatility. They help both the accumulation as you're trying to save for retirement, but also as you're spending down, the vol protection really can help from a sequencing risk element as well. So we definitely think that there is a huge benefit, but it does come with complications. You need active management in order to manage the liquidity risk, how you actually allocate around the cycle, and how you handle the sizes of those allocations, considering you can't rebalance as easily as you can traditional equity and fixed income.
And there's so much difference within them, right? So real estate, some of those have steady streams of income. Private equity, very different proposition.
Exactly. Some of them are much more of a core inflation sensitivity that can provide balance. Some of them are more active management that you're trying to seek different ways and to get more alpha, more return into your portfolios. And so that's why we really think a more holistic, why are you adding it to the portfolio? What benefit is it serving? And are you doing that in the most cost-effective way for the end participant?
Looking for industry-leading insights on markets and the economy? Our Guide to the Markets illustrates a comprehensive array of market and economic histories, trends, and statistics through clear charts and graphs. For more information on the guide, visit our website at jpmorgan.com/GTM.
In terms of, besides a lot of policy change this year, there's been many other day-to-day headlines, and frankly, there always is, right? That's guaranteed. Next year will be same, year after that. But when you're thinking about investing to live well in retirement, you're for most people, that's a pretty long-term goal. So for you, in all of these asset allocation decisions, how much do you change anything, if at all, on a more short-term basis?
Not at all. It really is a long-term journey. You really want to use compounding and that the benefit of adding to your savings over time to your advantage. So you definitely don't want to be moving things around too much in terms of the day-to-day markets. My favorite slide is actually a guide to the market slide where it really highlights the opportunity of missing those 5 best days, 10 best days. You lose a lot just by poorly timing some of those trades and missing those key days. And those key days always happen right after the worst days. So really staying investing, using that compounding, adding to your returns, that kind of dollar cost averaging into the markets over time really can play wonders and just stay invested.
Yeah, so for both the investor itself or the saver themselves to not try to market time, and then at the end of the day for the investor themselves as well, not to do that with the plan assets, right? It's a mixture of both.
It is definitely a mixture of both. You're also trying to be in the same position and trying to invest for those participants. So absolutely, we are looking to make sure that as we invest the cash flows, as we're rebalancing, we're doing it in the best way, but making sure that we're doing that with the right goals in mind and the right time horizon. So long-term capital market assumptions are a huge influence to how we invest for retirement. But, the headline today or the headline tomorrow is going to be less impactful.
Yeah, because in those long-term capital market assumptions, that's your strategic, right? Yes. Your strategic asset allocation, long-term forces. Actually, a lot of the day-to-day headlines reflect those long-term forces.
Yes.
So there's no need to keep marketing market.
Exactly.
Super interesting. Given that there's so many different strands here around behavior, around different patterns of retirement, what's a typical day like for you? What do you do?
So I'm in quantitative research, so my day is really surrounding myself with numbers and papers and everything. So I spend a lot of time engrossed in the data itself, analyzing, again, how people spend, how people save. What does that really mean? How do we actually know what our goals are for retirement investing? But it's also a global endeavor. So you mentioned the different policy impacts for the U.S., but we're not the only ones where that is happening. There's markets all around the world that are reforming their retirement savings initiatives. And so spending a lot of time learning about what retirement looks like in different parts of the world and making sure that we can take all of the lessons that we've learned and all of the framework that we have here and apply them to all the different markets, whether that's Latin America, Europe, Asia, and really have a lot to learn and a lot of lessons that we can learn from each other.
Anything interesting? Any, I don't know, particular country or development you find particularly?
I mean, the most interesting thing is that for all of the different markets that are in different places within their retirement savings journey for everyone in their country, the problems are the same. Everyone seems to be in similar situations. A lot of it is just demographic. Yeah. As we get move into the baby boomers, into that full retirement space, that focus on how do you spend instead of how you save really is a global concern. And so we're all grappling with the same issues.
Well, in a way, I guess that should make us more comfortable, but I don't know. You specifically, Catherine, how did you end up in this space? Did you, were you in high school, college, already finding this topic interesting, or how did you get there?
So I was always a math person, so numbers were always my friends. And I was always interested in kind of the psychology as well as the mathematics of it. So as I got through university and a master's degree and started working at J.P. Morgan, happened to be right at the same time we were launching our Smart Retirement Target Date funds. And so it just kind of seemed to fit very nicely together. And so this space really spoke to me. And as we were looking at all of the assumptions that our competitors were making about how people saved and how people should spend in retirement, we just knew that there was something wrong with it. Mm. So I really wanted to spend time trying to figure out what people really did do and what people really needed and what did that mean for investing. And 21 years later, I'm still doing it.
And still, there's
and
a lot to
still
learn.
Still learning and still fascinated by it. So
and
I'm having fun.
So hugely important.
Yes.
To everyone's trajectory, life, living well. So thank you for that. Now, time for our bonus round. We usually ask our guests if there's a listener, a watcher, a viewer that wants to know the world of retirement or behavioral finance or quant investing a little bit better. What's a book or a podcast or a movie or a journal that you'd recommend? And then one external and then perhaps a JP Morgan resource as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many of them. But I think the one that always kind of sparked more interest in me and really kind of laid the foundations was Thinking Fast and Slow. So it's kind of an anchor behavioral finance book, but it really helps frame the dilemma of, especially for retirement, of why it's so important to think about risk, to think about investing, that balance between the pain of loss versus the reward of gain. And when you are moving into retirement and spending down your assets, it's so very important. Mm-hmm. I think it really anchored my philosophy around the importance of protecting the assets that people have spent their entire careers saving and really making sure that they can live the best retirement life they can.
Mm. And a J.P. Morgan.
So at J.P. Morgan, obviously, since we do a lot of research, we also publish on our research. We have a regular piece of work called Retirement by the Numbers. It was actually going to be updated and coming out a fresh copy this December. That really reflects all of the research that we've done, everything that we've learned from the Chase Bank side, everything that we've learned from the 401k data sets that we have, and how we put it all together from an investing perspective.
Two great tips, Retirement by the Numbers, updated come December, and then Thinking Fast and Slow, which I have at home. I know my husband has read it. Now I am intrigued as well. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And importantly, thank you for listening and watching. Make sure to look out for more Insights Now episodes on this feed. Thank you and see you soon.
This material is for information purposes only. The views, opinions, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions are those of the speaker and may differ from those expressed J.P. Morgan Asset Management or by other areas of J.P. Morgan Chase & Co. Any companies referenced are shown for illustrative purposes only and are not intended as a recommendation. We believe the information provided here is reliable, but should not be assumed to be accurate or complete. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for all investors.
This content is intended for information only based on assumptions and current market conditions and are subject to change. No warranty of accuracy is given. This content does not contain sufficient information to support investment decisions. It is not to be construed as research, legal, regulatory, tax, accounting, or investment advice. Investments involve risks. Investors should seek professional advice or make an independent evaluation before investing. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate, including loss of capital. Past performance and yield are not indicative of current or future results. Forecasts and estimates may or may not come to pass. J.P. Morgan Asset Management is the asset management business of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and its affiliates worldwide.